Steady, ready. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hello, Europe.
I blame JP for this. Welcome. It's Christmas. It's the festive season. It's time to play Noir.
On a string.
And we'll call it now. Welcome, everybody. Yes, we may be in Armenia. We may have the recording studio here, but it's time for a round of death-dealing knowledge. It's time for a game where the wits of the best webmasters, the greatest editors, the wonderful writers, and the voice of JP will go up... We'll go up against each other. There can be only one survivor. Who will step out of the eye of the tiger with displaying Eurovision knowledge beyond par excellence, with lots more cliches thrown in on top of that, and can bribe me as the person keeping the scores? Yes, it's another round of No Points, the comedy panel quiz show from ESC Insight, and we have four very special guests here, recording at the start of December, airing at the end of December, so hopefully nobody important in the world of Eurovision has died in between us making a joke about them dying, and this going out on there. And if that's true, then we apologise to the estate of Liz Assia right now. That's going to be in really bad taste if we're not careful. Anyway, we have... on... Guys, this is the level this show is at, okay? You wanted me to ground you? This is where we are, and our initial grounding. He is a man who has flown all the way from nowhere. He has driven all the way from his journey to be here in Armenia to take part in the quiz. He is a man who, if you look very, very carefully, looks like he could be a stunt double for Maurice Gibb. It's Leon Clark!
Hello.
So, Liam from ESC Extra.
Yes.
First time on Nopal?
Yes.
Ever heard of the format before?
No.
We're going to have fun. We also have one returning Nopal contestant. We have three virgins. The one experienced panelist that we have here, and I do use that word advisedly, Luke Fisher.
Move them on. Hit them up. Hit them up.
Move them on.
Move them on.
Hit them up.
Rawhide. Cut them out.
Ride them in. Cut them out.
Hello, yeah, back for my second go. Now, last time I came second, so I think I might do a Kiara here. I came second last time, I'll finish 20 seconds this time.
Which is good, considering we only have four people actually playing, so you might actually be able to meet David Elder in this. David Elder not appearing in this quiz show panel, the quiz comedy thing. Third, we have the voice that has started a million trucks, assuming those trucks are Toyota Land Cruisers that have been abandoned in bad 70s cop series. The man who has built more space rockets for the ESA than the British government, and the man who manages to keep his voice going for 3 hours every single Wednesday on radiointernational.tk. Harry, he'll look at the side. No, I don't know either. Radio man himself, JP, joins us.
Hello, good day, good evening, wherever, whenever, whatever.
You're trying to steal my opening lines now. It's good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Or hello, internet. Not good day, good time, but hello, you're... No.
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 Yes.
I'm giving you -2 points straight off the bat.
Oh, dear.
You've recorded twice now, and you've not yet worked out that we say hello, internet, not hello, Europe. So that's 2 points off.
Two minus
one
points.
For each.
Okay.
So,
what do I have to do at the end when I have, like, -20?
We've never actually thought of a forfeit.
I don't know, but it's very cold outside at this time of night.
It is. You know, I'm very tempted to go the Tony Hawk route and say you have to go outside and sing the national anthem of Moldova naked.
Do you show me how that is done?
Yep, it's the book is by Tony Hawk. You'll find it on Amazon in our affiliate code section. It was called How to Play the Moldovans at Tennis. So there you are. You can have a pictorial representation there. Except it wasn't Tony Hawk it did there. It was Arthur Smith. Or if you're listening from the Strike and Tax Office, Daphne Morris. Thanks, Arthur. Still love that joke. And finally, our fourth member. Bervin Newhouse with us.
Hello.
Ervin, you've no idea you were doing this quiz show 20 minutes ago.
I had no idea this existed 20 minutes ago.
Okay, minus 5 points. Don't diss the quiz show you're on. Okay, right then. So, going into the first round proper. In the lead, Liam and Luke tied in first place with no points. 2 points behind them, we have JP. And 5 points down already. Ervin Juhas, there we go. Not the record for the lowest score going into round one. I must admit, that is held by David Elder. We go into the first round. Now, for those of you who haven't heard of this quiz show before, which is three of our panellists, it's simple. What we're looking for here is basically Eurovision knowledge. It could be something that you find, quite interesting. Or you might want to describe as points for punditry, unless you're an IP lawyer, in which case you never heard those last two phrases. Okay, so question number one, and we will be going to our most experienced panelist first. We are here recording this during the Junior Eurovision Song Contest here in Armenia, and I think we'll simply start with that one. Your Eurovision highlights from the Junior Eurovision Song Contest. This is its ninth year. What have been the little tiny gems, Luke?
Well, this is definitely a personal one, because you have to think, 2003 was when Junior Eurovision started. And in May of that year, the UK had been absolutely embarrassed by Gemini coming last with no points at all in the main Eurovision. And I sat there with my flag all night and I nearly cried when Ireland did.
You only nearly cried?
Nearly cried.
Minus.
Ireland voted third on and we didn't get anything, and it was just long night, and eventually we didn't get anything. And along comes Junior in the winter, and we were good at it. And we got, the first jury comes in and we scored, and then we got some 12s, and then Tom Morley came second in the end. So my highlight of the Junior Eurovision was the first one, because we didn't suck at it as we had done in the main.
Can I just say, UK came third, didn't they? Didn't Spain come second?
Spain might have come second. Oh yeah, we came second the second year. That's why I loved it, because we came third and then second. And then we didn't do as well in the next year.
So Liam scores a point for correct knowledge. Luke manages to score minus 2 points for trying to tell us the wrong thing. And also scores another minus point for not mentioning that he'd been on The X Factor recently. You would have got a bonus point for that. He was in one of the boy bands.
He was in one of the boy bands.
So Luke's slipping down the table. Liam, you get a bonus point there.
Yay.
For being smarmy as well, and that's unusual. But carry on. Highlights of Junior Eurovision for you.
I'm a big fanboy, so I always follow the contest really, really hardcore. And this year, I borrowed the DVD of Junior Eurovision 2004 from Luke. And I was watching it in my dorm room in Estonia. And it's playing. And Croatia comes on. And she starts singing. And I'm like, this is a different introduction than I was used to. And then the chorus comes on. And I realized that back in 2004, I forgot to download the Croatian song. So I'm just sitting there in my room, just completely dismayed that there is a Eurovision song that I do not know, Junior or otherwise. And I had to watch it about four times until I was actually satisfied that I was up to date.
Bonus points if you can sing it.
Hey, Molly, can you see what's up here? Hey, Molly, don't it's on the air. Hey, Molly, it's the volume tear.
Minus two.
We still have a chance. We still have a chance, Abin.
You tricked me.
Yes, this is an evil quiz show. JP, you weren't going to. I wasn't going to give him minus 10. Don't try and tell the quizmaster what to do. Minus another one for you. Right, try and get them back. You're going to
end up all
to
being naked outside on the street there.
You're getting close to me.
Right then, okay, JP, do you have any memories?
Well, I'm 45 years old.
Yep. 1 point. It's brave to admit that on the radio, isn't it?
And this is my very second Junior Eurovision Song Contest.
Very second.
Very second one to be here in Armenia.
Bonus point for DJ Cliche Voice. Yep.
And what amazed me is arriving here in Yerevan at the venue. We're coming into this ice palace. It's so ice cold there. But that's one of the things. And the other thing is, today we had the pleasure to meet and interview the lovely girl from Lithuania. That for me is one of the points when she said that she hadn't had the chance to meet yet the Swedish singer. So we ask her, why not? Because she is so cute. And that's That's what actually what the translator answered us. And she almost could have eaten him for that. And I thought that was a nice moment to have witnessed that.
Aww. Are you a father, JP?
Am I a father? Not that I know of.
Do I give an extra point for a good joke or minus point for such a bad Jim Davidson ripoff? You get the extra point.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and you lose it for crawling to the Quizmaster. Arvind.
Hello again.
Yes. 1 point bonus, being formal. Congratulations. Like that.
Well, this is my first Junior Eurovision. I think the third one I watched. I didn't watch every. I watched the one with the Dracula, I think. Was it in Romania? He was quite boring.
Oh, the one that looked like one of the Midwich Cuckoos. Yes. JP, bonus point. Who are we talking about?
Ooh, I don't know.
You know, you're never going to win.
You're not following what I say.
If I say something wrong, I'll get a minus point, but I don't see anything.
You got to live dangerously, JP. Mm. I'm so glad that was off camera.
Yeah.
Erving.
So anyways, this one was much better because I arrived to the only airport in Yerevan. And
actually, there are two airports in Yerevan. The other one's just for domestic flights.
He's trying to be smart.
He is, yes. But he gets a point for that one because he's quite right. That's information.
Highlight, kind of, was getting by a taxi from here to the arena just to freeze my ass all day yesterday. Today it was kind of better, but we'll see about tomorrow.
Your highlight was a taxi.
To the arena.
To the arena. Right. If this was question three, you'd score points for that.
Okay, let me see.
Are you reading the right bit of paper?
Question three was national finalists.
I think what he means is the fact that the taxi had a fantastic cracked windscreen.
Yes, in a Lada.
In a Lada. And we've had that taxi twice now.
What an experience it is to drive in a Lada.
I try not to, is the honest answer. So there we go. That's
I highly recommend
one.
It.
Just go, okay, calm down. Right. End of round one. Let's hit the scores. And let's see. Liam, you're on zero. Luke, you're on zero. JP, you're on zero. And all three of you are in joint lead because Arvin is on -3. Woo. Climbing back up from that lost bonus. But there we go. Tie for first place as we move into round two. Round two. Welcome to Armenia. This is the question I meant, Arvin. But
yes.
you can't repeat your questions
uh-huh.
again. We have Welcome to Armenia as the
yes.
song for Armenia. We've obviously had lots of people going, oh, it's like Scooch because they're dressed up as air stewards and air stewardesses. And, you know, let's face it, there is, you know, I'm not sure if the Armenian Delita is more mature or Scooch is just immature. I'm not sure which. But there we go. But it struck me that there are some songs at Eurovision that are to do with travel, but we haven't mm-hmm. really ever sat down and highlighted, you know, because Europe's all about free movement and going between countries. So, panel, what are the great travel moments in the Eurovision Song Contest? Luke.
I'm so glad you came to me first. Right, I've got three written down here.
Nerd.
I'm going to starting with a guy who sang for Bosnia this year, in fact, Dino Merlin, was in a duet back in 1999. And the song was called Putnici, which means travellers. So there we are, they were travelling. We had in the same year, actually, the German entry. They wanted to play to the host country with Reise nach Jerusalem, travel to Jerusalem. And going to Belgrade in 2008, the Lithuanians, they were nomads in the night. And nomads, of course, have no home. So they're constantly travelling.
There we go. If you're with the Daily Mail, you can get in touch with us here at the website www.escinsight.com to complain that we're highlighting the plight of travellers in a positive sense. But other than that, let's see which of the answers from our other panellists Luke has now managed to steal. JP, we'll come to you next. What do you have?
Well, I did have Scooch because the getting ready
it's
for
in the question.
Okay.
Everybody had Scooch minus.
Oh,
not
okay.
Understanding the concept of question and answer. It's an interrogative experience.
I have a couple of other ones there.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
Now, no, well, welcome to you know, no, Liam Riley, Somewhere in Europe, and that is a fantastic piece of music. We had a show on this, actually. One hour we devoted of traveling throughout Europe, and that was one of the themes we had. He's traveling all over the place. Now, of course, the journey to Jerusalem, which Luke already took away, which I had. And then I work at a space agency.
A space agency? Is that now?
The European Space Agency.
Okay.
And there's a song which I think is Hello from Mars. So traveling to and from Mars eventually will hopefully get reality.
Surely, though, it would be cheaper if we just sent people to Mars one way. All the extra fuel that they'd have to take to come back, we could just give them, like, some extra chocolate or something. Surely you just want to travel to Mars and stay there.
Well, no, the song was about coming down from Mars.
And it's at the bottom of a gravity well.
Yep, but look, there's Mars. We know that there's a Marsman on Mars, and he's saying, hello from Mars, come.
He said, invite. Heaven comes down to Earth to say hello from Mars.
Hello from Mars.
But they were coming down, so that's the travel.
How do we solve this? JP, have a point.
Thank you very much.
Liam.
Well, I'm going to go anecdotal on this one. When I was 17 and had just started becoming obsessed with Eurovision, my best friend's dad called me up to say that somebody who'd come second in Eurovision in the 90s was going to be performing at the SSNA Club Albury in my hometown. And I got really, really excited. Is it Elisabeth Andreasen? Is it Imani? Who is it? Who could it be? And I was ready to go and get tickets, and then I found out that it was Mark Roberts, whose song Mysterious Woman I thought was absolutely dire, which is about meeting a woman in an airport and falling in love with her. He didn't even meet her. He just saw her and fell in love with her, and it's really creepy.
Really creepy. This coming from the man who's went around interviewing all the children at Eurovision by starting off with, would you like some chocolate?
Hey, I finished with, would you like some chocolate?
Yeah.
That makes it better.
Yeah.
Anyway. So from being so excited that I could see a Eurovision contestant in my hometown, I just gave up because it's Mark Roberts.
There's a bonus point there. Arvin, close off the round.
Well, I'm just going to deal with Australia, not with Gina G, but with Eric Papilaya, because according to the Serbian commentator, he was coming from a far island of Australia to take part in Eurovision to sing Get Alive, Get Alive.
Is there any knowledge in there?
Yeah, because the Serbian commentator said he was the Australian representative when he was singing for Austria.
Austria never took part that year.
Point for knowledge, 1 point. To minus one from me for cocking it up. There we go. Great thing is, I'm still not last. But I'm enjoying that. Let's go for the scores and hit the jingle again. JP, bonus points if you can name this track. It's great because he can't actually hear the music. Come on, JP, open. What would I use for the bed of the music?
I'm deaf. I can't hear.
The Benny Hill theme.
No, it's not the Benny Hill theme. It's actually the theme from Juliet Bravo. No bonus points for anybody. Right then. Arvin, minus one. Everybody else, further in front. Round three. Round three. Let's move away from Junior Eurovision for a moment. We will return to it in a second. But I want to, you know, this is the start of Eurovision season. I know quite a few people out there don't do Junior Eurovision. They wait for the national finals. Now, we've had some televised semi-finals. We've obviously had Mission Europe running since, I think, February. I'm not quite sure. They're down to 27 contestants now left in that, and they'll eventually have one worked out. It's still a better system than the Ukraine. But what I wanted to ask was, you know, we are the people who look at the national finals. So out of those looking to sing in 2012, what's caught your eye in the national final season so far? JP.
Well, we heard it just a couple of days ago that Charlotte Pirelli returns to Melody Festivalen. She won in 1999 as Charlotte Nielsen. In 2008, she was the hero. Obviously not for Sweden, but now she comes back. And let's see, that is something that caught my eye, because I do actually like her very much.
I mean, she's had a rough time personally, but we're not going to kick her for that. We're going to kick her for the horrible makeup she had when she came back.
She looked like an alien, doesn't she?
Yeah, I mean, it's that don't go into the Mars thing. Don't go into the Mars thing. Right. But look, national final highlights.
National finals. I'm going to Switzerland. And it is It will have been a couple of weeks ago by the time
indeed,
this one
goes
out.
And congratulations, and hopefully she's still with us.
So that's where my favourite
minus points for JP for making a Cliff Richard reference in the background.
My favourite one.
Stay alert. On the game.
The one that's really caught my eye there is a Canadian girl called Catherine Saint-Laurent. She's from Ottawa Park in Canada, was in Canadian Idol. And the reason she's caught my eye, firstly, I like the song. It's a ballad. It's called I Was Wrong to Let You Go, and it's got a bit of it's in English, but there's a French part comes into it. But the reason it's caught my eye as well is the great story that goes with it. You know, in 1988, a young girl from Quebec sang for Canada. And we all know what happened, and look at her now. Now we've got Catherine Saint-Laurent. Could it happen again?
Time out. Luke,
no.
What happened? So we don't all know. Minus points. bringing up incorrect facts.
She won.
All right, so you do know what happened.
Yeah,
there we go.
Won.
Get the point back. Okay.
She got 15.5% of the vote.
Are you making this up?
Oh, I don't know.
He is.
No, you can't do that. You can only Liam can correct, okay? Ervin, calm down. Do you want to say something now?
No.
No, right, okay. So you don't want to go into this round at all then?
No.
No, right, okay. Ervin scores nothing in this round. That's weird. Okay, Liam.
Okay, I'm most looking forward to seeing who's going to be in Eesti Laul. There's been a bit of debate about who could potentially be in the run to represent Estonia with three out of the six people who've been top two in their last few seasons of Idol, potentially in the running. Oit Lepland, Lee Slemsalu, and Birgit Oigemel, all of whom are massively, massively famous in Estonia, and there's going to be some serious scrag fight going on there.
Just to correct something here, Liam.
Yes?
Your highlight is something that might not happen in the future.
My highlight is the potential for bitch fight in the Estonian media.
Ooh, all right, then we'll let you away with that one. Arvin, do you want to answer the question? Otherwise, I'll be accused of favoritism or something.
I'll just go with Ultra Nate, who is...
Yes. Ding, ding.
The American pop R&B singer. I thought most Euro fans will know about her, but most of them didn't.
she on the long list, as I recall, and then...
Yes, she failed to qualify, after all.
Failed to qualify. Do you know who took her place?
Probably Liz Assia.
It was Liz Assia, yes. Well, at least... Not the late Liz Assia, you know. She will never leave. I'm sure if she dies, they'll just mummify her and bring her out to Baku anyway. Just, look, she's fine. And the arm will go up and wave.
Would anyone notice if they just wheeled her out?
I think Ralph would. Right, okay, let's go for the scores. And the good news is, Arvin, you're out of negative.
Finally.
Yes, you're on one. Which isn't that
Thank
impressive.
You. Yeah.
We then got JP, 3 points for you.
Well
Luke,
done.
Second place on four. And Liam, mostly for correcting Luke, 5 points. We'll go for the golden envelope round next. Arvin, this is your chance to storm into the lead.
Uh-huh.
Question requires an answer. And if you can match the answer that I have in the envelope, 10 points. Which pretty much guarantees one of you would be into the final.
Ooh.
Unless you really, really make a mistake in the next. So here we go. Golden envelope. You'll have to nominate one at the end of your answer if you give us multiple ones. Eurovision is famous for people who keep coming back, who keep trying again and again to win. Maybe they just like the cake, I don't know. But out of all the people who've never come back to the Eurovision Song Contest, who do you want to see back?
Well, I think that it would be interesting to see Gemini again.
Oh.
Just to see if they can break their own record.
This is new quantum. This is what I'm talking about. Keep going.
And also Pierre and the Music Stars. They had an even better record.
Which one of those are you going to say is your answer, though?
I'd say Piero.
Piero going down as the answer. If that's in the envelope, be 10 points.
Can I just say that I find it interesting that Piero is probably the lowest of all the nil pointers because he got nil in a semi-final. So to most fans, that doesn't even count as being a nil pointer. So that is lower than low.
France probably voted for him but decided to withdraw the votes because they would probably vote for them.
Because they didn't show the semi.
Yeah.
I think it was at the point that he hit himself in the head with the mic stand that he became the lowest of the low.
Luke, give me your answer. Who do you want to see come back?
Well, I've got two people here again. From a UK point of view, it would be great to see Andrew Lloyd Webber come back as a composer, potentially with Jade and the Sugar Babes, if she wanted, just because it was one of our best results, it was one of our best songs. But the one I would really like to see come back, but shouldn't here, is Natasha Saint-Pierre, who sang for France in 2001. For me, this song epitomised Eurovision. It was a moody French ballad. She then had a key change and a language change at the same time and had a really good finish. But I wouldn't want her to come back because I think she was so classy, she doesn't need it. But if I was asked who would I want to come back, it would be her.
So splitting the personal.
Yeah.
I like that. That's good punditry. That's good, nice, clear fact. My thought. Good punditry. Good scoring. Liam.
I'm going to go with Polish diva Edita Górniak.
Ooh.
Because she had a damn fine ballad in 1994. And had she been allowed to sing in English, I feel that she would have done a lot better.
In English, as she did in the dress rehearsal that the juries watched.
Ooh. Ooh, look, getting back the dig in at Liam.
Did she not get in a lot of trouble for that, though?
She did, but by that point the juries had already seen it and cast their votes.
Always better to ask forgiveness,
true,
especially if they're not scoring.
But I feel that she definitely should come back and give Poland the victory they deserved in 94.
Right, so inventing time travel as well. Okay.
Yeah, if she can get a time machine, then I'm all for that.
JP.
Well, the artist I would like to see back at Eurovision, she has been there before as a band, but also she won it as a solo artist. And that is the winner of 2005, Elena Paparizou. And she is Greek, but I would like to see her come back to sing for Sweden, because she is a Swedish-born Greek.
Interesting. Sweden mostly exports songwriters, though, and backing singers. They don't normally import their lead singer, though.
That's correct. But she is born in Sweden.
So there we go.
Greek family.
I'll give a bonus point for anybody. You can give me someone who's born in Sweden and sung for another country. Anybody else? Will you stall it?
Nana Grönvall tried in the UK in 2001 in the national final, but lost.
It's not singing Eurovision, that's singing in a
Shirley
national
Clamp
final.
Shirley Clamp backing in 2001 for Greece.
There we go. Liam takes the point.
Wasn't Sandra Enoxoid who sang for Estonia in Athens, Swedish?
Anna Sahlin as well.
Interestingly, they've just traded the lead.
They're just younger and faster than we are.
For
on
again.
A desert island. What else am I going to do?
It's not a desert island. It's Australia. It doesn't have a single palm tree in the middle and a shark going round the outside. It has barracuda. Right then. So that was JP's. We're all done on that. The lead traded there. Luke, you actually sneaked into the lead there. And you slid back again. So we have Liam on 8, Luke on 7, JP on 5, Irvin catching up on 4. But will that all change with
who was in the envelope?
Just as I say, it will all change who's in the golden envelope. The holder of the envelope, Charlene, is lurking as our officiator, making sure that I conform to all the rules that I have made up. Which is true so far. Am I following my own rules so far?
I think so.
Good. And the golden envelope, you just want to open that up? We have
Annie Lorak.
what a good choice, Ewan.
It was a good choice. And if you'd said that before, you would have got 10 points. And 15.
Yeah, you should have told me that before then. I would have said.
Did you think to bribe me?
So this is not a Ukrainian national final.
No. I don't think bribery has ever happened during the Ukrainian national final. And I shall choose my words before it. Shush! Okay, we have one more of the Eurovision No Points before we move into our final closing stages, and I ask the panel to tell us something that we don't know before we go into the head-to-head decider. But finally, on the Eurovision scope, let's return to Junior Eurovision, where we are here in Armenia. Quite simply, we have seen some great singers here, and I'm going to ask you to put aside the rule about age at Senior Eurovision and simply ask, out of the 9 years of Junior Eurovision, who should be singing, who should have sung in the adult contest? JP.
I think it's the girl from Belarus.
We've got nine Belarus singers to choose from now.
So. Oh, no. This year, 2011. I thought it was only for this contest. No, but that she is very, very good on stage, good voice, and can perform it very well.
And her name is?
That's a good question. I forgot.
Oh, all the points you won there, they've gone away.
Do you have the booklet
again?
Here?
I do, but that's cheating. Which would be allowed, but you got to be quick. You might get it back before the end of the round, you can have the point. Look.
Well, JP sort of stole my answer, but it's not the same answer. Because I'm actually going to say anyone from Belarus. Because in Eurovision, they're pretty hopeless. But in Junior Eurovision, they've got this knack of doing really well. They've won twice. All their singers have held a note, which is more than can be said for this year's Belarusian entry. They sing in Belarusian, so they can't have English like Alexander and Constantine did in 2004. And many other Belarusian entries, I may add. So just anyone from Belarus should enter for them in senior.
Storming into the lead there, Luke is grabbing pole position. Ervin?
Katya Ryabova from Russia. Mm-hmm. She's here for
Katya or Ekaterina?
This year she's Katya. She used to be Ekaterina. She's here for the second time, and she's one of the most professional ones here in Yerevan. And she has a song that could enter Melody Festival in any year and finish in the second chance.
So basically, you're saying she's the Russian equivalent of Love Generation?
Kinda.
Fair enough, yeah. Points. Liam.
Well, in 2006, Sweden was represented in Junior Eurovision by Molly Sandén. In 2007...
Sandén. Oh, well done, Aaron.
In 2007, they were represented by her sister, Frida. And in 2009, they were represented by their other sister, Mimi. So I would like to see the inevitable Sandén super sister group represented for Sweden in Adult Eurovision.
Are there any more of them?
I don't believe there. I think there is a brother.
I don't believe. So you can rewind.
I don't believe.
It's better.
I think there is a brother, but I don't think he does anything.
There is a brother.
I love the Minogues.
It's like the Cars. You know, there's just like one. There's like
he'll do the backings then, probably.
He can just sway in the background and do this.
Liam is doing the action.
Really well on radio.
It does. And I'm really glad it's on radio. So glad that he gets a point.
Yeah.
There we go. JP, have you got the name yet?
Nope.
He's still looking through the books, and we're about to hit the jingle for the scores. And we're there. Right then. So we're finished our Eurovision questions. These scores going into our final round of Tell Us Something We Don't Know. Well, JP has slipped back by scoring absolutely nothing in that round. 5 points to him. Ervin goes ahead on 8, but Luke and Liam on 10 and 11 each. We'll go in reverse order. It's all to play for. JP, you're going to need a storming Tell Us Something We Don't Know round.
Okay.
For you to get. You need to get into at least second place to make the
Can I manage this? I don't know, but we'll try. Now, you know that I work on the radio. And when I was working on the American Forces Network in Belgium, we received a story of colleagues on the Swedish radio station. The DJ was doing a show there. His girlfriend came and joined him to wait until he finished the show. And they were passionately in love. And they couldn't wait until the sound engineer switched the studio off air. And they had a number. They had some lovely passionate sex on the audio board, on the console, and it was transmitted. The DJ actually lost his job for that.
Do you have a recording of it?
No, unfortunately not. No, it was a story that was sent around.
Because if you had the recording, there would have been another point that would have... There's a strong score. Courageous attempt, a tale of sex on a soundboard. Yeah. Yeah, pity you didn't score in the last round. Arvin, tell us something we don't know.
About Eurovision.
Anything you like.
Well, I'll connect it to Eurovision.
Okay.
For example, I never left my home, and I lived in four countries that took part in Eurovision.
I like this one.
Until, like, 91, there was one country, Social Federative Republic of Yugoslavia. 92, it was Republic of Yugoslavia. 2004 to 2005, Serbia and Montenegro, and from 2007, Serbia.
Does that mean you needed to get a different passport?
Yes.
Extra point. Hey! Puts you in contention.
Can I just add that I find it amusing that you're Hungarian?
Yeah.
Liam, pushing ahead. Look, you're in second place going into the round. Solidify the position.
I'm going to take a Eurovision theme for this one and take you back to Birmingham in 1998.
Do you have to?
Please. Why? Is this someone else's answer?
No, no. I don't want to go to Birmingham.
Oh, right.
Birmingham's 6 miles from hell. Isn't that true, JP?
It's 6 miles from hell.
Yes. They're both craters on the moon.
Oh, I didn't know.
Point to me.
I heard that Birmingham has more canals than Venice and far more shopping trolleys in them.
Yeah. Stolen joke. From Roy Kinnear, all people. It was, yes.
Anyway, so back in 1998 was the last year of the orchestra. And we only know this through a BBC documentary called Naked Eurovision that was aired a couple of weeks after the contest. The Turkish conductor was having a little bit of a problem with the 3-minute rule. And in every single rehearsal they went through, he was overrunning. So much at one point, the song was 3 minutes 20, so it wasn't even close. It got to the night, and they still hadn't done it in time. In all the dress rehearsals, they'd still overrun. And they were told quite simply, if you don't get this in time, you will be disqualified. And they were one of the last few countries to go on. And the guy on the documentary has a stopwatch. As the orchestra strikes up, he hits the stopwatch, and the song goes on. But the best part about it is he obviously got wind, the conductor of this, that he was running out of time, because the last 30 seconds are at a notably quicker pace as he quickly tries to conduct his way through the song to speed it up and hits the 3-minute mark bang on the last note. So they were not disqualified, but the lead singer had to belt out that last chorus a bit quick.
Hey, there we go. Liam.
Okay, I'm going to talk about Estonia, as that is where I live.
I knew that, minus.
In 1991, when Estonia broke away from the Soviet Union, they hired a consultant to try and find some way to improve their image to the rest of the world, to give them something that Estonia could be famous for. So this guy told them, computers, everything needs to be computerized, and we need to bring Estonia up to date in that. As part of that, later on, they said, Wi-Fi, everything needs Wi-Fi. So now it is written into the Estonian constitution that it's a constitutional right for the Estonian people to have free Wi-Fi in public places.
Boom, oh. Boom, 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 boom. Liam's in the lead. I might not have known that, but I think it's a wonderful, cracking, brilliant idea. So there we are. It's now time for the final scores. Ooh. In last place, even with a strong final round, we have JP on 8 points.
Thank you very much.
Arvin, 10. I have to say, though, you were counting minus 5 at the start, and in second place, Luke was on 12. So there we go. Luke, second place on 12. Liam, first place, 19. Free Wi-Fi for the win. Wow. However you want to phrase it.
Well done.
And we move into the final head-to-head decider. Now, it's very simple. You have 20 seconds to agree with a phrase or statement or saying that I'm about to give you. Now, Liam, you'll have one. Luke, you'll have one. And everybody else here will judge. Liam.
Yes.
You went into the round first. You get to choose. First or second?
Second.
Pressure moves on to Luke. Diddle-diddle-dum. Except I can't do the Weakest Link music. So, Luke, 20 seconds. Justify this as fast as and as best
you can.
We
have the same question?
No, you get different ones. Okay. Eurovision is going to be best served in the future by having everybody sing the same song in the final.
Well, obviously, this would show up the vocal capabilities of the singer because you'd be judging them on the same song. So if they were a good singer, you would actually hear them sing it. And if you were a bad singer, obviously, they wouldn't. It would help for the jurors because the jurors could judge it professionally. The song is all there. Eurovision is a singing competition, so you would be able to go on the vocal. And also, it might help knock the diaspora back a little bit if everyone's got the same song.
There is a chance here for Liam, but he's going to need a strong answer. Liam, you ready for this?
No.
Okay. You ready yet, Liam?
Yeah, right.
Okay, right then. 20 seconds. Agree with this one. The winner of Junior Eurovision should automatically be sent to the final of Adult Eurovision.
Well, the winner of Junior Eurovision is ultimately the best of the youth of Europe. And what better way to showcase the youth of Europe by sending them to the biggest television show that there is in music? They would instantly be liked by a lot and are going to guarantee a lot of votes for a country that could deserve it a lot more.
Overtime and stumbling. Now, that's a tricky call. It's a tricky call. Panel, what do we think?
Tricky call.
Right, you're leaving it to me then. Right, in that case, Luke filled the time better. He managed to justify everything with little stumbling. Prize goes to Luke. There we are. Luke, how does it feel to do a Dima Bilan?
Well, you know, obviously I'd like to thank a lot of people that have helped me. My PE teacher from school who first spotted my talent. The diaspora for voting for me. Or my PR team.
I think I should have given it to Liam.
So that's the Ukrainian national final. Change it afterwards.
It is. That's correct. Charlene's the winner.
So, like a true Ukrainian.
It is. Like a true Ukrainian. Just comes out of nowhere. So that is no point for the year. Thank you all very much for listening. Thank you for appearing. Chance to plug the websites and any of your projects is coming up in a second after I mention www.escinsight.com for your regular podcasts. We'll be starting Ultimate Jukebox Jura. We'll have reports from the national finals and we'll be leading you up with all the fun and the games leading into May and that delightful trip out to the coast of the Caspian Sea. We'd also like to say thank you to Liam.
You're welcome.
Plug?
ESC Extra. Go to it now.
Excellent. You see, that's why you need to practice this. You know, that's it. You're stumbling, you're stopping. You'll have a better chance in the final round next time. Better practice. Luke!
Thank you very much, Ewan. Please visit escextra.com, everyone.
See, like that, Liam. Okay?
You're not my parents. You can't tell me what to do.
Did your parents ever tell you what to do and you'd listen to them?
Yes, actually.
Oh, weird. JP, thanks very much for coming on.
Ewan, thank you very much for having us on the show. It was a big pleasure to do it. And listen to our show, RadioInternational.tv, 24/7.
And thank you also to Erwin.
You're welcome and vote for Hungary.
Are Hungary actually back? Have they made their mind up yet?
They are.
You can say whatever you like now, because in 3 weeks' time, they might have changed their minds.
Oh, well, they're holding a press conference tomorrow, so...
Which was 3 weeks ago, which was a great press conference, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, I know.
Can't believe they've taken Lisasia's song and put it in the Hungarian selection.
And sang it in Hungarian.
With backing by Zoliadok.
Oh, God.
If she's dead...
I'm just worried she's going to be wearing Jolly's green leotard. Also, thank you to Charlene for keeping the scores and keeping everything right and actually winning.
Thank you. I'm ready to compete with everyone else on the next round.
There we go. And we will be recording that shortly and airing it. We'll be back in the next time. This was No Points. I'm Ewan Spence. Thanks for listening. Guitars!